From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of December, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. We'll also hear from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He has a note of interest as it's related to production agriculture in Brazil. I think you'll want to make sure that you hear that. And I'll remind you to visit our website at willag.org, willag.org, for two reasons. The first is to pick up your tickets, to register, that is, for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits or the Farm Assets Conference. They're coming up not this Friday, but the following one for the Farm Assets Conference, December the 13th, here at the iHotel on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. And then the Ag Economist and I will travel the following week to Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. And the second reason to visit that website is to check out the Dancing Robotic Dog. Now, this dog is actually a herd dog of sorts to work with livestock, but they had it dance for me earlier today at the Ag Safety Conference demonstration that took place at the Stock Pavilion. I think you'll get a kick out of it. It's all at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn for the day settled at $4.30, down 2.25. May, 4.35½, 2.5 lower. And December at 4.29, down 1¾. January beans at 9.83¾, down 8. The March down 7.5. And November, 5.5 cents lower. And soft red winter wheat, 0.75 cents higher. It settled at $5.48¼ a bushel. Greg Johnson is now here from TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing, the elevator in Champaign County, part of a larger system that stretches across a portion of southern Illinois and Indiana. Hey, thank you much, Greg, for being with us. How's the cold weather treating the elevator today?
Well, it's certainly limited the amount of traffic that we're seeing. Farmers have put the corn and soybeans in their bins. And with these kind of temperatures, I think they're waiting for warmer weather before they want to move anything out. They're also waiting for higher prices before moving any of that grain. So things are pretty slow, and that's okay. We've been extremely busy for the previous 2 months. So a little bit of slow time isn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I'm wondering which is going to come first, warmer weather or higher prices? And by warmer weather, I mean a lot warmer weather. Oh, my gosh. It's not been good. Although it's not been horrible the last week and a half. What do you think of the marketplace?
You're right. We've really hit the post-harvest doldrums. If you look at March corn futures, for the month of November, we gained 7 cents. We were up a little bit in October. We were up a little bit in September. So, we are on an upward projection, but it's just a very slow move. So far in December, we've lost 3 cents in corn. Soybeans were only down a nickel in the month of November. It seems a lot worse than that, but we lost just a little bit. And so far here in December, beans are down 3 cents for the month. Wheat was the biggest loser. In November, we were down 42 cents in wheat, and we're down another nickel so far in December. So corn and beans have been basically unchanged post-harvest, but the wheat's really taking it on the chin.
You know, it seems worse than that because it's down a nickel plus the end charge, and you just, it feels bad, right? It just does. So what are farmers thinking, and what are you telling them about, particularly beans, because it's likely the one they're will consider selling at some point in the next month and a half or 2 months?
Yeah, the fundamentals for corn are a lot better, I would say, than the fundamentals are for beans. I mean, number one, we've got South America planting more bean acres, and they're off to a good start. Brazil is basically 100% planted. Argentina is probably about 60% planted. So that's not to say that we can't have weather problems over the next 3 months of the growing season, but today we don't have any weather problems. Their forecast was for 1 to 3 inches of rain this week, so that's going to keep the market from getting worried. Now, a month from now, they'll need rain again, and maybe, you know, we'll be dry by then. But we trade every week, and this week the crop looks great down there. Farmers are hoping for $10 cash beans again. We've had $10 cash beans in August, September, October, and November. They don't stay there very long, and so we're hoping that we get another chance for that here in December, but it's probably going to take some weather issues or weather forecast of dry weather down in South America before we get that.
Easier to get $10 cash beans now because basis has tightened up?
Basis has improved 40, 45 cents from the harvest lows. So, you know, that more than offsets the DP charge, but you're right, the futures market has gone down as the, even though the basis has gone up. And so, we're a little bit below $10. Yeah. We're in that 980 range today. So another 20 cents on the futures or basis, whichever combination we can get, will get us back to $10 cash beans. But in order to get much more than $10 cash beans, it's probably going to take some dry weather down in South America, which is not the case today.
I want to talk a little bit about the corn market and the cash basis across the whole of the Midwest. It used to be, before the ethanol build out, that we could depend here in our part of the world because of the river system and ADM indicator to have a very strong cash basis in comparison to every place else across the Midwest. The ethanol build-out has changed that dramatically, and you can see some really more stable prices across, meaning the same across the whole of the Midwest, but Iowa, particularly parts of Nebraska, and then the Dakotas even, and Minnesota will have really good basis because they have so darned many little ethanol plants all over the states, along with their feed usage in those areas.
That's exactly right. And when it 20 years ago, 10 years ago, when it came to the decision of where do we build these ethanol plants, the question was, where's the corn the cheapest? That's where we're going to build them. And the cheapest corn was in the Dakotas, followed by Nebraska, followed by Iowa. And so that's where a lot of the ethanol plants got built. And so then instead of having basis levels that were 40, 50 cents behind Decatur, Illinois, now all of a sudden they're maybe 10 or 20 cents behind Decatur, Illinois, not enough to justify the transportation. Decatur used to get a lot of rail corn in from Iowa, and they have not had to, you know, they've not been able to get as much because of the ethanol plant. So they've had to shift their focus to the south and to the east. They get a lot more corn coming out of Indiana now than what they used to in the past. And as far as overall basis is concerned, you're right. Farmers have been tight holders of corn post-harvest. Last year, Decatur was paying five under the March for corn at this time of year. Today, they're at six over. So the basis is about 11 cents better on corn and bean basis. Last year, they were 15 under the January on this date. Today, they're five over, so a 20 cent better bean basis indicator versus last year. So basis levels are definitely better than they were last year. A lot of that is a result of farmers holding on to corn and beans, not liking the price and just not needing the money until we get closer to the 1st of January.
Yeah, so it is not a fundamental supply issue other than the supply is being held off the marketplace.
Exactly. We still have a 2 billion bushel carryout. We still have a 550 million bushel carry out in beans. So no, we're not running out of either corn or beans anytime soon. It's just the order flow, you know, when does it move? And the other thing that we've got going for us, at least with corn, is the funds have decided to cover their short position. They went from, you know, almost 2 billion bushels short to half a billion bushels long. And so, you know, the fact that the funds have covered has been met with some farmer selling, but still, we've had a nice little rally in corn since they've decided to cover their short position. And so that's good, too. So we've had, you know, some fund buying and a little lack of farmer selling. And that's allowed for the basis to certainly improve a lot. And the futures market has improved to some extent as well.
Yeah, most would have said that they were taking profits. And then the question is, when they get into rebalancing, will the funds go short the marketplace for corn again?
That's a good question. You know, the supply carryout situation is not burdensome. I mean, it's 1.95 billion bushels. It's under 2 billion. So I think they don't want to have it sell off too much until we see the acreage number. I think we want to make sure we get, you know, 2 or 3 million more acres of corn planted this year versus last year. So once we get the acres planted, or once we think we've got the acres, then we could see the funds decide to, then it's all up to the weather for next spring, but that's still a ways away. And you know, the funds just started to cover a week, about a month ago. So the fact that they've just covered their short positions recently makes me think that maybe they'll maintain that long position for a little bit longer.
Yeah, and they would have known at that point that USDA's baseline for 2025 is now 92 million acres of corn. We'll see that again in, what, February, I suppose, at their ag meeting, but not officially until we get to the March prospective plantings report, I suppose. But it's a bigger number than we had this past year, of course.
That's right. And we've had, you know, very good corn yields the last couple of years, too. And all you can do is assume trend line yield. So that's what we'll be assuming in January, February, and March. But the law of averages would say 180 bushel corn is at the top end of the range. So if we have any problems, you know, we could see a little bit of a rally. So maybe the market in, you know, purpose here for the next 3-4 months is to make sure we get a few extra acres just in case we don't have those kind of yields that we've had the last couple of years.
I think that's what we should go with for today. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM from TotalGrainMarketing.com. I'm pretty certain by now that you know U of I Extension, along with the Farm Doc team, have scheduled the Farm Assets Conference and the Illinois Farm Economic Summits for later this month. The Farm Assets Conference to be held Friday, December the 13th. That's a week from this Friday. It'll be at the I Hotel in Champaign. And that'll be followed by the IFA series on the following Monday in Mount Vernon, Tuesday in East Peoria, and in DeKalb on Wednesday. However, if you've not made your registration yet, you need to take care of that. You can do that on our website. You need to attend really only one of those four programs to see the Farm Doc team presentations. The Farm Assets Conference includes the IFAS presentations plus the U of I Extension Crop Scientist. So the same Ag Econ at all four, but the Champaign event includes additional content. The cost is $80 per person, but you need to get yourself registered today. You can do it right now at our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Let me go through some of the things that you'll hear about on that day. We'll kick off by talking about some practical advice as it's related to conservation management on the farm. Gary Schnitke will help to lead this program, but it will also include a couple of crop scientists, including Giovanni Prezzafontes. He's an agronomist for University of Illinois Extension. And Emily Heaton, she works really closely with the Sustainable Ag Partnership and will be able to talk more about some of those dollars that are available for sustainable ag practices. And then we'll follow that up by discussing commercial lenders and their state in agriculture today. We'll discuss mental health with Josie Rudolphi from U of I Extension, some alternatives to the federal crop insurance products that are being used now. These are other federal crop insurance products. And we'll also take up the weather with Eric Snodgrass, discuss some things related to the strategies for lowering the input cost in the coming year. And we'll, of course, have a crop panel discussion as well. But you need to register today for the Farm Assets Conference at willag.org. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He is at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks for being with us again on a Wednesday.
Yeah. It's a good getting closer to Christmas. That's exciting, right?
Well, we had some snow. It's been cold here. I want to come back to what you think about the weather in the United States. But more importantly, let's move to South America. Begin with Brazil. If we're going to get any kind of pop in the marketplace, it looks like it's going to have to be supply driven. For us on corn and soybeans, that's all about probably the center west, maybe parts of southern Brazil. Are there any issues you see on the rise there?
Well, there's a couple of things that are taking place. I don't know that we have to be careful not to make more out of them than what's there. But if you're looking for something to maybe watch or to chat about, I think the most important thing is that there's actually two issues going on. One is in central Brazil. This would be really extending from west to east, coming out of southeastern Bolivia and northern Paraguay through Mato Grosso do Sul and southern Mato Grosso. into Goyaz and Tocantins. And in that area, we expect to see a high pressure ridge build up at next week into the following week. And as it builds in, it's going to suppress the rain, and we're going to see the temperatures heat up a little bit. Now, today's moisture profile in that area still looks pretty darn good. I mean, there's plenty of moisture around, and a week to week and a half of drying is probably not going to be a big deal. But I do find it kind of fascinating a little bit that we're still not seeing very good convection in the Amazon River Basin. Now, the Amazon River Basin in the good old days was the primary source for all of our moisture that comes southward across Brazil. And what often happened in the past when we tried to get a ridge to build up over parts of Brazil in the summer is that there would be so much convection occurring in that Amazon basin, and those storms would develop there and then drift to the south. They'd run into the high-pressure system and just break it down. And I'm a little concerned because we don't have that kind of aggressive convection occurring right now. And once the ridge builds, it might have a little bit more staying power. Now, I admit right off the bat that I am really reaching at the moment. I would, if I was anybody listening to me, I would discount this as a pretty minor thing, but something to view. As we do dry out some of that region for the next couple of weeks, we'll need to pay attention just in case it doesn't fire back up again, the rain that is. But I think if I had to put money on the table, I'd probably suggest that there would be timely rain resuming again in the latter part of December, and we'll do just fine. The other issue in Brazil is down in the south, there will be some heavy rain in Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina and Paraná, as well as southern Paraguay, and we will likely see that evolve this weekend into the first half of next week. It won't take long. The ground will become saturated. We'll have some flooding that will take place. I do not look at this as being any kind of real epic flood or any real serious issue. There should be a short-term break in the second half of next week going into the following weekend, but we could see another round of heavy rain shortly after that that would perpetuate the wet bias. You know, Brazil is a land of extremes in any year, and I really look at these two issues as being typical summertime weather, and I'd be real careful about how far we go with it. But things to look at.
Further to the south, how do things look in Argentina?
Yeah, the situation in Argentina is really very good right now. I think it's been multiple years since Argentina has had such a good moisture profile at this point in the season, certainly before the last solar minimum, which was 2020. So it's been a number of years. So they're in great shape right now. The crops are being planted aggressively, those summer crops, that is. The winter crop is still filling and maturing in the south. We even have a little bit of crop that might still be late reproductive. But anyway, the moisture has been ideal in supporting better yields in the south. A little disruptive for the harvest up to the north at times, but it really hasn't been that wet. So the bottom line is it looks really good. So the planting of summer crops and the early development of those certainly will continue to look very good over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. Now, there will be a reduction in the frequency and intensity of rain during that time period, but I don't see it being absolutely dry. So maybe a little later in December, we might have something to look at, but for right now, it looks pretty good.
Let's continue with the summer crops of note in the southern hemisphere. The next stop probably would be South Africa and corn.
Yes, South Africa is finishing up their corn planting season right now. It will continue for a while this month. We do see the moisture profile in the east and south as being ideal, but the northwest is pretty dry, and that would include the states of Northwest and also Western Free State and Eastern Northern Cape. And they do irrigate a portion of the crop in that particular area because there is a tendency for it to be a little dry. So it's not a huge issue, but if we stay in this mode all the way through, they will end up with a smaller corn crop, and for that matter, many of the other grain and oil seed crops. But the east and south is where the bulk of the crop is produced, and it does look pretty good right now. So for the next 10 days to 2 weeks, this trend will prevail.
One topic of discussion for North America, it would be along the Illinois, Mississippi, the Upper River system, both related to logistics. One of them, is it cold enough for it to freeze, and will it stay that way if that's the case, finally closed for the season? And secondly, river levels across those areas.
Yeah, so certainly from a cold temperature perspective, this past week has been impressive. It certainly has dropped the water temperatures down quite a bit, but I don't see this cold persisting quite long enough to totally freeze up that upper river. So I think that we'll put ice on the river. It might slow things down a little bit. Certainly runoff is going to be reduced, but I think as far as closing the river, I'm not sure we're ready for that yet. I do see warmer than normal temperatures coming up as we move forward through the balance of this month. There will be another shot of colder air at some point, probably around the late in the third week or early in the fourth week of the month. And that might start some more of this ice accumulation business, but I think in the interim, we'll do fairly well with some warmer weather. The runoff up that way is not that great. Water levels are not that impressive. We do have still a portion of that region still running on a dry side of normal weather. And as we go through winter, I'm not looking for high volumes of moisture in that region. Now, I will tell you this. We just completed a study for the spring based on the top driest September, Octobers in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, the upper Midwest, more or less. This was the third driest September, October period on record. And we went back and looked at the other 10 years that are at the top part of that list and looked to see what happened in the following spring and summer. And we found that there was a very definite wet bias, not only for that particular region, but extending back to the west into Montana and northward into Canada's prairies. So we'll see what happens, but that's a little study we just finished, and I thought it was kind of worth sharing.
Hey, thank you much. I think so, too. We'll talk with you more again next week.
You bet. Have a good one.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. You can find and listen to the programs anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org, willag.org, or search them out in your favorite podcast applications. Now, on the website, you can also register for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. They'll be in Mount Vernon in East Peoria and DeKalb. That'll be the week of Monday the 16th, or the Farm Assets Conference, which is Friday the 13th. Don't wait. Register today. Check out the whole of the agenda for those programs. The Ag Economist will be traveling with me on all four of them, but there are more events and presentations that take place at the iHotel for the Farm Assets Conference than the other three events. We hope to see you at one of them, but you need to register. Don't wait. Do it right now, today, at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.